I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as we read verses 3 through 9. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 992. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Michael Catlett tells a story of years and years ago when he was much younger, working for a company. He had only been working there for a few months when Christmas arrived. He actually didn't expect anything since he'd only been there about 3 months, but he received a small package from the owner of the company who was there at the Christmas party. And in that small package was just a nondescript brown leather wallet. He said the wallet reminded him of gifts that his mom generally wrapped and kept around just in case somebody showed up at the house or at a gathering that she wasn't expecting or that she didn't have a gift for, then she had a stash to go to. I know none of y'all ever have those kinds of things, right? Just make sure that if it's a re-gift, you don't give it to the same person that gave it to you. He thanked his boss and turned to go. And as he started to walk away, his boss said, "Hold on a minute, Michael. You're not going to open the wallet?" He kind of sheepishly looked at the boss and said, to himself, he said, "Well, if he says I need to open the wallet, I guess I need to open the wallet." And when he opened the wallet, he looked inside and found a crisp $100 bill. For him at that time, that was equal to 1 week's take-home pay. So that made a big difference to him to receive that. But he looked back at his boss and he said, "You know, I appreciate this, but that's an awful lot of money. I've only been with the company for 3 months. I really didn't expect to receive anything." His boss looked at him and said, "Everybody here gets at least $100. I want to tell you thank you for being a hard worker, and I'm proud to have you working with me." In reflecting upon that, Michael Catlett said, "You know, I was really thankful and overwhelmed. But I really also didn't believe I deserved anything, and I didn't expect to get anything, which made it even more meaningful that I received something I did not deserve or expect." Now, we're at that particular time of the year, in case you've missed it. We're at that particular time of the year when people begin to think about what they will give to people and to whom. In fact, there are a lot of folks that will completely skip over Thanksgiving and go ahead and move on towards Christmas. I was listening to the radio the other day, kind of as an aside, and they were talking about, one of the guys on the radio was talking about Christmas music, and he had asked the question, "Is it too early to be playing Christmas music and hearing Christmas music?" And then he ran down a list that he had found somewhere of specific dates that major retailers have where they will start playing Christmas music in the stores. I forget the name of the one. It was not one that I remember being around here, but there was one store that actually started 2 days before Halloween. And there are others. I think Walmart is scheduled today's the 12th, for tomorrow. And Belk is scheduled for tomorrow and several others that started November 1 and scheduled on up as to when they'll start playing Christmas music. So we're right at that particular point in time, right? People are already thinking about it. The sales are already out. I don't know about you, but in the mail and on this thing. I have been getting pre-Black Friday sales information. And the other day, I not only got another pre-Black Friday from Cabela's, I got from Cabela's and from Bass Pro Shops both a preview of our Black Friday sale. So, you know, it's that particular time of the year where we start thinking about those things. What we're going to get, to whom we're going to get it, give it. And, you know, if you really think about it, I want to ask a question, don't answer, but how many of those are obligatory presents based on what we gave somebody last year or based on what they gave us? And somebody gave us something last year and we didn't give them anything, so now we feel like we've got to up the game a little bit, right? There's almost this expectation. And generally that says, you know, it starts, we need to, or maybe we ought to. And you know, those phrases are far more common now than, you know, we really want to. Things become rote. Things become expected. Do they not? It's kind of like the early entrance of Thanksgiving and Christmas decorations each year. We expect them to show up early and earlier every year, right? By the way, Santa's already in some stores. A week and a half ago, I was in the Wally World near us looking for something. Talk about looking for gifts, the hot item this year for little ones. And Santa was already sitting, talking with children, right beside the toy section of the Walmart. That's a week and a half ago. Santa enters earlier and earlier. So we've come to expect this kind of thing. But how many times do we come to church and we expect things to happen a certain way? We expect them to be predictable. You know, we get involved in that in churches as well. We're already planning Advent, the hog service, hanging of the greens, the children and adult Christmas programs. Those things are already in the works. We have been working on them and planning them, etc. By the way, for my readers, I have your scripts up here after the service for the hanging of the greens service. And sometimes we can't wait for it to come and go. Right? Because of the expectations of all the time and the effort and everything else. We get so burned out that sometimes the sense of awe seems to fade, does it not? And that's really what I want us to think about for a few moments today before we come to table, is the things that we expect and we get to the point where they just become rote and the sense of awe and reverence just kind of disappears. And we forget just how awe-inspiring the coming of God in Christ was at Christmas and continues to be as He enters our lives and our presence. You know, the times were uncertain. And the people pled with hope that God would come down again, that God would show His glory and His grace. The people were hoping for a grand sign that would be undeniable as God's presence. And contrary to what they expected, God brought the unexpected, did He not? We will talk in a few more weeks even more about it, but we'll focus on that stable. People were expecting in those times some kind of great king to come and to ride in and get rid of the Romans. But the only commotion was in a stable as a baby was born, as He was wrapped in strips of cloth, as He was placed in a feeding trough, perhaps with a coo and maybe a cry. God's awe-inspiring deed of incarnation was something that was missed by most because it was not what was expected. Right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us of that. He reminds us that God continually comes with unexpected miracles. unexpected miracles, especially in and through not just the baby, but the man that he became. God with us and God within us. Because it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we receive what we don't deserve. What we don't deserve. And that was his point here. It's unexpected. What people thought they deserved and what people expected, God did in a much different way. An unexpected way. Paul then gives thanks to God. In fact, he begins here, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, wishing them grace, wishing them peace, which they can only find where? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he thanks God. He thanks God that they have received this gift from God in Christ. That gift of grace, which brings an abundance of charismata, grace gifts. Now we get the word charismatic from it, but actually charis means grace and charismata means grace gift. This is a gift, an unexpected thing that we receive from God, given by God freely. You know, God didn't have to give this to us. Speaking of expected and obligatory gifts, God did not have to give us the grace he does in Jesus, and he doesn't have to give it to us now. But he gives us grace freely so that it can then be used in unexpected ways to share his grace with others, especially through speech and knowledge. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God, which was given you as Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge. Speech and knowledge are supposed to be byproducts of the grace that God gives to us. You know, a lot of folks, when they come and they make their profession of faith and they accept that grace gift that God gives them in Jesus, they come simply with the expectation, I'm going to make this profession, I'm going to get dunked, poured, sprinkled, I can sit in the pew and then I can go about my life because I've got my ticket. And yet, God not only gives us the unexpected, God has expectations that come with that gift, which we often overlook. They're not lacking. They're abundant, but they're intended to help us grow until life is complete. Knowledge of the gospel of God's unexpected gift in Christ, the ability then to speak that knowledge, are supposed to be things that become a part of receiving that grace gift. And Paul gives thanks not only for the grace, but for the fact that that unexpectedness can cause us to grow in knowledge and in telling others. He also addresses here the idea that the grace of God in Christ that brings expectation for us brings us into fellowship and communion with Christ Jesus. Many, if not most, Christians probably think of calling. People have been called, related only to those in vocational ministry. And yet here, he says that they were called, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you. That's a calling. A calling. There are certain expectations that we have from those folks. And to be sure, people are called into individual areas of life of service. But, as one writer states, and I quote, one's calling is not simply a private matter for you. Paul made clear later that God's calling does have a personal component. And by stating that the Corinthians were called in the communion of Christ, Paul is pointing out that there is a corporate nature to each Christian's calling. The church is a people called together. Yes, we're individuals, but we're called together. Persons are called into not just personal communion with Christ, but also corporate communion in Christ with the church. End of quote. And that carries with it the things that God expects from us. Yes, we are called to be someone in Christ, but we're also called to be someone within the community as a whole. To be someone who partners with others in the same community in order to grow individually and together. We're called to be in that community and to be responsible. Responsible to be present. Responsible not only to live with God in our private lives, but to live with God in our corporate lives. And to do the unexpected. That is, to be open and available to any calling that Christ would have us to fulfill as the body of Christ, regardless of age, regardless of position, to work together. In a few moments, we will participate in the Lord's Supper. We will participate in communion. We will, some of you have already brought food. If you have others with you, you can. I'll sit some up here. If you happened not to remember it this morning, that's okay. Bring it tonight. And we'll add it too. So that this food can be used in the area to help folks who are in need. But we will come and participate in the Lord's Supper. You know, I found over the years, and there have been times that I've been guilty as well, of approaching the bread and the cup just as things were expected and with very little surprise. We go through the motions without really concentrating on the awesomeness of this remembrance and of what God has done. I do remember, and I've shared with you before, one time, though, there was a big surprise. That was when I was at Berea United Church of Christ and in college, and the unexpected happened at communion. Mr. George Pritchett and Ms. Burt, who was the church historian, and they were responsible for communion, had been for years. And when I opened up, and they had a service set like this, and when I opened the lid on the juice, I said, somebody forgot to go to the store. Mr. George just went out and got some of his muscadine wine out of one of his tobacco barns. And I watched faces. Some people smiled. Some people almost spewed. It was an unexpected time, without a doubt. But oftentimes, we really come to expect the little cracker and the small cup of juice without truly thinking about the unexpected grace. The unexpected way that God brought salvation for us. And not just in a man who was killed and then raised from the dead, but beginning with the birth of that man as a baby in swaddling clothes. A different kind of wrapping than the grave wrapping, but a wrapped gift of grace for you and for me. The challenge today, then, is for us to remember the unexpected. To remember the unexpected grace tucked into a small piece of bread, a small sip of juice. Inside, there is remembrance of forgiveness and of hope. Not given because God was obligated or because of what we gave God before. God gave and God gives, not because of what we have given, but because of who God is. God gave and He gives us more than we could or should ever imagine. And you know something? He gives it to us when we deserve it the least. And what He brings to us exceeds all expectations for you and for me and for the rest of the world. And Paul talks about that here and talks about how we have been given life. Not just so that we can have life, but so that we can share that life with others through speech and knowledge, and through the use of our grace gifts. So as we think about what is it that you expect, we must also ask, what does God expect? As we come to table, as we remember the awesomeness of the grace that He shares with us, and then as we go forth in a short time into God's world as grace gifts for others. May we pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You didn't receive from us things expected before You gave us Your grace. Help us to remember just how unexpected, but how awe-inspiring Your gift was and is. And help us to look toward the expectations that You have, that we might truly share the grace gifts in knowledge and speech. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn prior to communion is hymn number 321, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. As we think about that cross and about that unexpected gift that God gives us, as we stand and as we sing together, number 321, as we prepare for coming to table, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.